This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is in studio with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch, and we're so pleased to be joined on the phone by Steve Brady, the head professional at Oakland Hills, one of the best players in the state of Michigan throughout a long history of great golf. And Steve, we wanted to get you on and talk about all the changes made to Oakland Hills. You've got to be awfully excited.
It's been a long time coming. I've been at Oakland Hills 24 years, and the membership and the staff, they've been talking about this since I came here, and probably even before that. And to see it open up yesterday, it was a beautiful sunny day with a select group of members and staff that went out and played it. It was just absolutely breathtaking. I'm a little bit biased, but it really is transformed into the way it was 100 years ago.
Being there for 24 years like you have, and you've seen, I mean, obviously there's so much great history at Oakland Hills with I think 17 major championships, a Ryder Cup, and Robert Trent Jones Sr. Did the first big renovation back in the 50s, and then Reese came in. You've seen all of that, and now we've got Gil Hance, who's come in and brought this new modern, kind of going back to the old classic, these neoclassic designs, and he's brought that to Oakland Hills. So I'd love to hear your perspective on kind of what the difference is in the evolution of what you've seen.
Well, it's funny. The club hired Reese Jones back in 2006 to essentially tiger-proof the South Course for the 2008 Padraig Harrington PGA Championship. And Mr. Jones came in, and he did exactly what the club wanted him to do. He narrowed the fairways. He brought bunkers in close to the fairways and made the bunkers deeper and steeper. But he didn't touch the greens. Didn't rebuild the greens. Didn't make them any bigger, any smaller. So what he really did is he made the golf course extremely difficult for the membership. So over the last, since 06, 15 years, the membership essentially had trouble playing the golf course. it was just too difficult. So Sean Smith came in and restored the North Course.
Yeah.
Just after that, and the members loved to go across the street and play the North Course. It was some trees were removed. It's a little more wide open, a little member friendly, and they loved playing over there. So then, about 6 years ago, the board decided to hire Gil Hance to come in and restore the South Course to the way it was, which was larger greens, wider fairways, fewer trees. Fewer bunkers, but larger bunkers to match the scale of the scope of the land. And he's done just an absolutely wonderful job. And what he did is not only restored the golf course, but restored the views and the vistas of the beautiful clubhouse. We have an absolutely gorgeous clubhouse that over time you couldn't see from the golf course. And now with certain trees removed, but keeping the specimen trees, huge American elms and oaks, the trees are now in the correct spot. The fairways are much wider off the tee to about 260, 280 yards so the members could play it. But then the bunkers were brought in at angles so that a major championship player, a professional player, or a top flight amateur player that hits it, 300 plus or up to 340, they now have to think about what they're doing off the tee. They just can't blast away. And it was just a pleasure to play yesterday. I birdied my first hole today, and then it got worse from there. But it was one of the best days on a golf course I think I've ever had, because it was so much fun just looking around. It was like a brand new golf course, and it was just a lot of fun to play, and it was in perfect condition.
Steve, I had the opportunity to walk the back nine on Sunday. I know Oakland Hills pretty well. I was a caddy there for 4 years. I got married on the 18th fairway. I've been through, my dad had the house there on the 18th fairway. So I've seen the evolution of the golf course since Gary Player won in 74. And the 16th doesn't look very much like the same hole when Player hit the so-called shot of his life. He's been part of so many tournaments there, the Ryder Cup. And you're right, it does look like a brand-new golf course. I was worried that they would take all the trees down, and I agree with your assessment. I think the trees that they've kept accentuate the course without flooding the fairways or the rough with so many trees that it turned it into a bowling alley. It seems like the greens weren't changed that much, at least from what I could tell on the back nine.
Well, no, the greens, the way Gil describes it, the way we've learned how to describe it is if you took a scan, you took your phone and you took an aerial view or a drone view of each green, and then you just stretched it out, that's what you have now. All the greens have exactly the same original contours. They're just wider.
Uh-huh.
They're larger. So,
right.
So all the greens were expanded at about 25%.
So a lot of those shelves.
Two of the greens, number seven and number three, are brand new greens. So the seventh green is now brought back to the left where it originally was. And when they were digging them out, they found the old green on number seven. And it's about 2.5 times larger than the existing green from, 2 years ago from Trent Jones, Reese Jones. And number three was moved back into the left about another 40 yards. And it's a totally, totally different green than the former green. They're large, they're big, they're impressive, and they're firm and fast and dry and tough to putt. They're just a pleasure to play. I don't know how to describe it. It was just fun.
Well, Oakland Hills greens are tough to putt, Steve. We know that. You've been there for long enough. Always been the biggest defense of the golf course anyways. Same thing with the North course. I think the North course greens are even harder to read than the South course greens. So, but I know that the membership is just itching to get back on both courses because I know how tough it's been. I get complaints from all the guys that I know there. Jerry, you can't come down and play. There's no guests allowed because the sheets are so full.
Yep. Yesterday, it was, first day for the South course was yesterday. And there was a shotgun start in the morning, 10 o'clock, with, a lot of hoopla, a few speeches here and there. And everyone went out and played. And then after the shotgun start, number one tee was packed. And it's still packed. It was packed first thing this morning. And I can imagine, this is just with members.
Right.
And I can imagine it's going to be full through, through the end of August. And then I think you'll start to see some guests start to come in and enjoy the golf course. The North course, we've allowed guests all year long. But we're trying to encourage walking only on the south, which is really the best way to play it. It's a fun walk. It's a difficult walk because you go down 90 feet to the fifth green and then you have to walk your way back up. But now from the fifth green, which is the farthest point on the golf course, you can still see the beautiful clubhouse, which you couldn't see before. You could really only see it from 1, 10, 11, and 18. So you could really only see it from four holes. Well, now you can see it from 18 holes, and it's like your northern star. You start, 1 and 10, you tee off right at the clubhouse, and 9 and 18, you come back. And there aren't many other major championship golf courses that can truly say that you tee off right in front of the clubhouse on 1 and 10. Maybe on number 1, but usually the 10th hole is off to the side somewhere. But that's the design of Donald Ross. That's the restoration of Bill Hance, and that's the credit to the membership for supporting a restoration and shutting it down for 22 months. It turned out great. And, it's just beautiful. And I'm not a big self promoter and say, hey, everything is great, but this is truly a great change. Sometimes change is good. Sometimes it's bad. I think this change is fantastic.
Well,
how about that?
Gil is the, Gil Hance is the hottest architect, in the world right now. And what he's been doing to what I would say US Open venues is fantastic, and the early photos that I've seen, including number seven, which you were just talking about, where you found the old creek that is now winding across the fairway, which looks really cool. I'm a Golf Digest course panelist and rater, and I've played Oakland Hills a few times, and just seeing the photos, just looking forward to getting back out there probably next year, whatever, when the opportunity comes to see it and rate it now. Of what it is, because it looks fantastic, Steve.
I tell you what, number seven, the group I was playing with had former club champs, Scott Strickland, Jeff Champagne, and Phil Wood. We stood on number six green because we're all kind of three putt in the hole, but that's beside the point. But just to look from number six green, which is probably the most exposed green out there,
right?
And looking down number seven fairway with the creek that was put back in by Gil Hance, and Kai Golby was the main shaper. Kai Golby was Bob Golby's
son. Yeah,
Bob Golby won the Masters. He finished runner up to Gene Littler in the 61 U.S. Open here. because Kai Golby probably took him 2 weeks to get on his excavator and put that creek back in, and it looks like it was, you know, from Babylon. This thing looks so it just looks like it's naturally there for, you know, a long, long time. It's just it's beautiful, and it tricks your eye. The fairway is relatively wide, to be honest, but you see the creek meander through there, and it makes you think twice. So halfway into your downswing, you have second thoughts about where you want to hit it. But it's just a beautiful hole. You know, it's just a nice walk to be. You can hear the babbling brook going by, and it's just a really cool hole.
Steve, nice. Did they keep the green in the same position? Because, you know, that green has been switched a couple of times. It used to be on that other stand of trees. And so did they move it back to its original position, or is it still where it was?
They put it back to the original position.
Wow.
Back to the original Donald Ross.
Cool.
So, yeah, so it's to the left, and it's about 15 yards shorter, the length of the hole. But it fits naturally. It hugs this creek that goes through number 8, number 12, and into the pond on number 16.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
So the 16 pond feeds that creek. So and there's a little dam there that the superintendent, Phil Capari, who doesn't get enough credit for this whole deal because he's been out there for, you know, 3 years putting this baby together with Gil Hand's help in the construction crews and everything, but he's grown the grass in, and he opened it up yesterday, and, you know, everybody had tears in their eyes when they came in. And but the green is back to the left.
Good.
Big, 2.5 times as big as the one that was there before, and it's really a cool design too. They found the original green when they were digging it out. You know, it's kind of like a archaeological dig. They found the green and the edges of the green, and that's exactly where it was.
That's so cool.
So,
yeah.
It's really neat. Yeah.
I'm an architecture junkie, and I'm giddy right now.
No, I can't. I was hoping that that's what they did, because not that I had never seen the golf course that way, but that was the discussion when I used to caddy for the really older guys, you know, and they're like, mm-hmm. Well, I hate the new green. The old green was better. I know we don't have a lot of time with you, Steve, but I did want to briefly talk about Detroit Golf Club. You were an assistant there. You were assistant there for many years, and of course, the Rocket Mortgage is there. So, what do you think about DGC? What they've done to it, and how it holds up for the pros?
I tell you what, DGC, I loved it. I was there for 6 years. Came there in '91, and had a great time there. Worked for John Traub, and developed a great relationship with the members there. I haven't really gotten down there much in the last, you know, 24 years, but DGC, two Donald Ross classic golf courses, you know, oak trees, a lot different than Detroit. They're a lot different than Oakland Hills, but it was always in great shape. Clem Wolfram always had it in fine shape when I was there. You know, the tour players, if on a given day when they launch it, you know, 300 plus yards now, if they have greens that are in good shape, and fairly receptive to an iron shot, you know, they can go under par and make birdies. And to be honest, I think that's great because people love to see iron shots close to the flag and a lot of birdies made. I think it's good for the game. And, you know, for Rocket Mortgage to come in and sponsor the, you know, a tour event there is great. I played in 10 Buick Opens up in Grand Blanc. And my game isn't quite the way it used to be, but I'd love to be able to play in a tour event at DGC just to bring back the memories. But I think it's great for Detroit, Southeast Michigan to have tour events coming back, and I just think it's awesome that they're down there this week.
Yeah, I just wanted your perspective. You know, we've been on that golf course a ton, and you go, gee, I wonder what the pros would do there. We're kind of seeing what they can, especially when it's wet. Steve Brady from Oakland Hills Country Club and the brand newly redesigned South Course, thanks so much for taking time out and talking to us on Finding Fairways. I look forward to seeing you down there sooner rather than later.
Well, hey, thanks for having me on. When you do come and play, you're going to love it.
All right, Steve, thanks. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Here we go. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone. And Tim, we're here in northern Michigan, but you're down in Metro Detroit. How exciting is it to have Rocket Mortgage and the PGA Tour in your backyard?
Yeah, it's right down the, not too far from us. It's great. We had, you know, a bunch of people, you know, in the shop going down there if they haven't already been down to the event. You know, there's always a special buzz, you know, and it's been a while. You know, obviously the Rocket's been here for a couple of years, but there's always a nice buzz when the tour is in town, for sure.
And so it's the big 4th of July holiday weekend. Usually Carl's has got some pretty good deals online. What's happening there?
Yeah, we have a great deal, a bunch of deals on golf shorts because it's supposed to finally warm up here shortly. So a bunch of deals on golf shorts, and we actually have site-wide free shipping going on this weekend as well, which we just kicked off here recently. So that'll be going through the weekend. So free shipping, no minimums, free returns as always. So if you're looking to load up or you need some new gear, it's a great time to shop.
That's the great thing about carlsgolfland.com. Always free returns, and when you get free shipping delivered, it's the best deal around. Tim, enjoy the 4th with the family. We'll see you out on the golf course.
Yes, sir, Jerry. Thank you, you too.
All right. Welcome back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with my host, Kevin Frisch. Kevin, great to hear from Steve Brady and all the changes at Oakland Hills. What is the first date that's open? I think the U.S. Open, I think, is 28,
I think, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, nothing official yet, but if you put all the tea leaves together.
Well, I had the opportunity to walk the back nine. You know, obviously there's a lot of trees missing.
Yep.
And it doesn't look fabulous because it takes a while for the fescue to grow in, and they're putting fescue all over the place. But the green complexes look pretty much unchanged, although they did add or take away some bunkers.
Yeah, so, and I also heard they were doing some, I mean, there was some work on the greens. I maybe expanding some areas on the greens. You know, some of those shelves that you can get out there have shrunk up a little bit over the years.
And they changed the front edge of number 11 where balls used to run off the green all the time too.
Right, right.
But the story that we want to talk, there's a couple of great stories that have come out of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. The biggest one being Phil Mickelson's disgust at the fact that the Detroit News ran a hatchet job on him a couple days before the event. A small little item that was in the court record about Tony Giacalone's case and a gambler who was turning state's evidence on him to get out of his own BS.
Right.
It's mentioned that Mickelson, he had placed a whole bunch of bets for Mickelson, and then when Mickelson won, he didn't pay him. And the news ran this huge story about it and then brought in some of the other stuff about Mickelson and gambling and then the Wall Street thing. And Phil is upset.
With full right to be upset. I mean, this happened 14, 15 years ago. It's no secret that Phil likes to gamble.
Yeah.
But he was never convicted of anything. He's never done anything that's proven illegal.
Illegal.
And it's to have a star of that capacity come to your town to play in this event, which, look, this is not a top-tier PGA Tour event.
No, it isn't.
It's not. This is second, maybe lower part of second or third tier.
Well, if DeChambeau hadn't won, it would be Phil and, you know, Ricky Fowler's having a horrible year.
Right,
you know,
right. Kudos to Rocket Mortgage for being able to get Phil Mickelson, the reigning PGA champion here, one of the greatest players of all time, Hall of Famer.
He's beloved by everybody.
He's going to draw everybody. And for the Detroit News not to recognize what that is going to do for the city, for the tournament, for the event, for everything, is really short-sighted. Now, I know that we all know what the news is like today.
Yep.
Nobody wants to write anything positive. It's all about the shock and awe and how many site visits we can get, and it's really sad to see that.
Well, this is going to blow up in the Detroit News' face. I can't imagine that Dan Gilbert and Rocket Mortgage isn't going to take a very hard look at how much advertising they do with the Detroit News. The editor is going to get fired. The guy that allowed this story to go for not being newsworthy in any capacity other than Mickelson is coming to town is a breach of a lot of media. You and I are writers, and I would never do anything like this.
I've been in the PR business for 25 years.
Yeah.
And this was, again, like I said, the news media has changed so much today where everything.
But you don't see this in golf.
You know, this is not very often. No, you don't see it in golf very often.
Golf still has, class and, rules that we play by. They're not the unwritten rules of not, throwing at a guy or whatever.
Right.
We shake hands. We call penalties on ourselves. And we like to think that, golf has a little bit higher ethical and moral standing.
Right. I did see something on Twitter that the Detroit Metro Golfers Association had sent a tweet out about getting 50,000 signatures to have Phil come back, and I think Phil responded about raising money for a charity, and there's something going on with that.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me that Gilbert wouldn't be reaching out to Phil and talking about, your foundation with our foundation to do something. Dan Gilbert's not an idiot.
No, and I tell you, this jeopardizes the tournament. Like,
yeah.
If Rocket Mortgage decides, you know what, we're just not going to play this in Detroit anymore. We're going to take this somewhere else.
Well, they could easily. I mean, Gilbert has just as many businesses in Cleveland. I mean, this could be at...
this could go to Firestone.
This could go to Canterbury.
Or Canterbury.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Firestone already has
Or it could be a tournament like the one of the World Golf Championships could open up. I mean, Rocket Mortgage has the money to fund any tour event they want, whether it's a FedEx Cup event or whatever. And the Detroit News just set that tournament
It's
sad.
I'm not going to be surprised if the news issues a retraction and an apology, and this guy, the editor, gets fired because there was no reason to publish this story other than to see have a whole bunch of people flooded. Now, you just booted into the site to read that. So how many people are going to the Detroit News website to read this article? This is going to blow up in their faces.
It is. It's not a good look, and you just hope that they can somewhat salvage it, because I think they've really started a really great thing there, having it downtown at Detroit Golf Club.
Oh yeah.
And I mean,
look, the Detroit Golf Club is a nice club. My dad was a member there. I've played it a bunch. We were going to talk about, what they've done to the course to make it. The pros don't care about playing there. There's no cachet to play DGC.
No.
It'd be one thing if they were playing Oakland Hills every year or something. I mean, the same thing with Warwick. I mean, the only reason why the Buick Open was there is because GM had a whole bunch of money. Warwick Hills is it's an okay golf course.
Right. Players like Detroit Golf Club. It's an old Donald Ross. They like old golf courses
Nobody's going to lose sleep over never playing there again.
No, 25 under is going to win this week. So.
Yeah. I mean, they got Live Clean in Place in the rough.
Through the
I saw the rough. I mean, if you had to gouge it out, Phil actually had an unbelievable shot. I don't know if he Live Clean in Place that he must have. But even after he placed it, the ball settled down. You couldn't see the ball, and he chunked it out for 140 yards and hit it to 5 feet and made the putt. It was his first birdie of the day.
I know there's going to be people out there that are going to go, I can't believe they played Pick Clean in Place through the rough. But you know what? I give kudos to the PGA Tour for being.
They had to.
They
it was underwater.
To. And you want to have you want these guys making birdies. I want to see these guys making birdies and having a good time. Let it be a shootout. It's great. But the whole Phil thing is really sad, and it's too bad because what other big time player is going to want to come to Detroit when they
Not
start
now.
Seeing that kind
I mean,
of stuff?
You're never going to see Tiger Woods here,
or Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, no, yeah, guys that have
guys that
maybe
might have
something, a little something in the background. Yeah, no doubt about it. And then on top of that, DeChambeau fires his caddy.
Right. Now they said it's mutual, but we all know what that means.
We were talking on my Friday show here on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Faceoff, about the caddy-player relationship. And it is very important. And you could see how important it was because by how lost DeChambeau was yesterday on the golf course with a club rep.
I had an interesting conversation with somebody about Phil and his brother. And the relationship that they have, and talking about Bones and how Bones was Phil's caddy forever.
Yeah.
And back in 96 in 2006 at West at Wingfoot, when on the 18th hole, he pulled out driver and what an idiot I am statement came out, and Bones was there. When his brother on the seventh hole got in Phil's face and told him, if you're going to win this thing, you've got to go after it.
Right.
The question was,
could Bones do that?
Could Bones? Yeah. If Tim had been with Phil on the 18th hole at Wingfoot, Tim would have looked at Phil and said, put that back in your bag or I'm going to break it.
Hey, when we return here on Friday Faceoff, we'll continue that conversation, because not only did it cost Phil the U.S. Open, it also cost Rick Smith his job. So we'll continue our discussion about caddies and player relationship and a few other things that are going on the PGA Tour, like the U.S. Open. All that and more here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne is in studio with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch, and we're so pleased to be joined on the phone by Steve Brady, the head professional at Oakland Hills, one of the best players in the state of Michigan throughout a long history of great golf. And Steve, we wanted to get you on and talk about the all the changes made to Oakland Hills. You've got to be awfully excited.
Oh, it's been a long time coming. I've been at Oakland Hills 24 years, and the membership and the staff they've been talking about this since I came here, and probably even before that. And to see it open up yesterday as a beautiful sunny day with a select group of members and staff that went out and played it, it was just absolutely breathtaking. Yes. I'm a little bit biased, but it truly has transformed into the way it was 100 years ago.
You know, Steve, being there for 24 years like you have, and you've seen, I mean, obviously there's so much great history at Oakland Hills with I think 17 major championships, a Ryder Cup, and Robert Trent Jones Sr. Did the first big renovation back in the 50s, and then Reese came in. You've seen all of that, and now we've got Gil Hance, who's come in and brought this new modern, kind of going back to the old classic, these neoclassic designs, and he's brought that to Oakland Hills. So I'd love to hear your perspective on kind of what the difference is in the evolution of what you've seen.
Well, it's funny. The club hired Reese Jones back in 2006 to essentially tiger-proof the South course for the 2008 Padraig Harrington PGA Championship. And Mr. Jones came in, and he did exactly what the club wanted him to do. He narrowed the fairways. He brought bunkers in closer to the fairways and made the bunkers deeper and steeper. But he didn't touch the greens. Didn't rebuild the greens. Didn't make them any bigger, any smaller. So what he really did is he made the golf course extremely difficult for the membership. So over the last, since 06, 15 years, the membership essentially had trouble playing the golf course. it was just too difficult. So Sean Smith came in and restored the North course.
Yeah.
Just after that, and the members loved to go across the street and play the North course. It was some trees were removed. It's a little more wide open, a little member friendly, and they loved playing over there. So then about 6 years ago, the board decided to hire Gil Hance to come in and restore the South course to the way it was, which was larger greens, wider fairways, fewer trees, fewer bunkers, but larger bunkers to match the scale of the scope of the land. And he's done just an absolutely wonderful job. And what he did is, not only restored the golf course, but restored the views and the vistas of the beautiful clubhouse. We have an absolutely gorgeous clubhouse that over time you couldn't see from the golf course. And now with certain trees removed, but keeping the specimen trees, huge American elms and oaks, the trees are now in the correct spot. The fairways are much wider off the tee to about 260, 280 yards so the members could play it. But then the bunkers were brought in at angles so that a major championship player, a professional player, or a top flight amateur player that hits it, 300 plus or up to 340, they now have to think about what they're doing off the tee. They just can't blast away. And it was just a pleasure to play yesterday. I birdied my first hole of the day, and then it got worse from there. But it was one of the best days on a golf course I think I've ever had, because it was so much fun just looking around. It was like a brand new golf course, and it was just a lot of fun to play, and it was in perfect condition.
Steve, I had the opportunity to walk the back nine on Sunday. I know Oakland Hills pretty well. I was a caddy there for 4 years. I got married on the 18th fairway. I've been through.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, my dad had the house there on the 18th fairway. And so I've seen the evolution of the golf course since Gary Player won in 74. And The 16th doesn't look very much like the same hole when Player hit the so-called shot of his life. He's been part of so many tournaments there, the Ryder Cup, and you're right, it does look like a brand new golf course. I was worried that they would take all the trees down, and I agree with your assessment. I think the trees that they've kept accentuate the course without, you know, flooding the fairways or the rough with so many trees that it turned it into a bowling alley. It seems like the greens weren't changed that much, at least from what I could tell on the back nine.
Well, no, the greens, the way Gil describes it, the way we've learned how to describe it is if you took a scan, you took your phone and you took an aerial view or a drone view of each green, and then you just stretched it out, that's what you have now. All the greens have exactly the same original contours. They're just wider.
Uh-huh.
They're larger. So,
right.
So all the greens were expanded at about 25%.
So a lot of those shelves.
Two of the greens, number 7 and number 3, are brand new greens. So the 7th green is now brought back to the left where it originally was, and when they were digging them out, they found the old green on number 7. And it's about 2.5 times larger than the existing green from, you know, 2 years ago from Trent Jones, from, you know, Reese Jones. And number 3 was moved back into the left about another 40 yards, and it's a totally, totally different green than the former green. They're large, they're big, they're impressive, and they're firm and fast and dry and tough to putt. They're just a pleasure to play. I don't know how to describe it. It was just fun.
Well, Oakland Hills greens are tough to putt, Steve. We know that. You've been there for long enough. Always been the biggest offense of the golf course anyways. Same thing with the North course. You know, I think the North course greens are even harder to read than the South course greens. So, but I know that the membership is just itching to get back on both courses because I know how tough it's been. I get complaints from all the guys that I know there. Jerry, you can't come down and play. There's no guests allowed because the sheets are so full.
Yep, yesterday it was, you know, first day for the South course was yesterday. And there was a shotgun start in the morning, 10 o'clock, with, you know, a lot of hoopla, a few speeches here and there. And everyone went out and played. And then after the shotgun start, number 1 tee was packed. And it's still packed. It was packed first thing this morning. And I can imagine, this is just with members.
Right.
And I can imagine it's going to be full through, I'd say, through the end of August. And then I think you'll start to see some guests start to come in and enjoy the golf course. The North course, we've allowed guests all year long. But we're trying to encourage walking only on the south, which is really the best way to play it. It's a fun walk. It's a difficult walk because you go down 90 feet to the 5th green and then you have to walk your way back up. But now from the 5th green, which is the farthest point on the golf course, you can still see the beautiful clubhouse, which you couldn't see before. You could really only see it from 1, 10, 11, and 18. So you could really only see it from 4 holes. Well, now you can see it from 18 holes, and it's like your northern star. You start, 1 and 10, you tee off right at the clubhouse, and 9 and 18, you come back. And there aren't many other major championship golf courses that can truly say that you tee off right in front of the clubhouse on 1 and 10. Maybe on number 1, but usually the 10th hole is off to the side somewhere. But that's the design of Donald Ross. That's the restoration of Gil Hans, and that's the credit to the membership for supporting a restoration and shutting it down for 22 months. It turned out great, and it's just beautiful. And I'm not a big self promoter and say, hey, everything is great, but this is truly a great change. Sometimes change is good, sometimes it's bad. I think this change is fantastic.
Well,
How about that?
Gil is the Gil Hance is the hottest architect, you know, in the world right now, and what he's been doing to what I would say U.S. Open venues is fantastic. And the early photos that I've seen, including number 7, which you were just talking about, where you found the old creek that is now winding across the fairway, which looks really cool. I'm a Golf Digest course panelist and rater, and I've played Oakland Hills a few times, and just seeing the photos, just looking forward to getting back out there probably next year or whatever when the opportunity comes to see it and rate it now of what it is, because it looks fantastic, Steve.
I'll tell you what, number seven, the group I was playing with had former club champs, Scott Strickland, Jeff Champagne, and Phil Wood. We stood on number six green because we're all kind of three-putting the hole, but that's beside the point. But just to look from number six green, which is probably the most exposed green out there,
right?
And looking down number seven fairway with the creek that was put back in by Gil Hansen. Kai Golby was the main shaper. Kai Golby was Bob Golby's
I heard that.
Son.
Yeah.
Bob Golby won the Masters. He finished runner up to Gene Littler in the 61 U.S. Open here. This Kai Golby probably took him 2 weeks to get on his excavator and put that creek back in, and it looks like it was from Babylon. This thing looks so. It just looks like it's naturally there for a long, long time. It's just it's beautiful, and it tricks your eye. The fairway is relatively wide, to be honest, but you see the creek meander through there, and it makes you think twice. So halfway into your downswing, you have second thoughts about where you want to hit it. But it's just a beautiful hole. It's just a nice walk to be. You can hear the babbling brook going by, and it's just a really.
This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is in studio with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch, and we're so pleased to be joined on the phone by Steve Brady, the head professional at Oakland Hills, one of the best players in the state of Michigan throughout a long history of great golf. And Steve, we wanted to get you on and talk about all the changes made to Oakland Hills. You've got to be awfully excited.
Oh, it's been a long time coming. I've been at Oakland Hills 24 years, and the membership and the staff they've been talking about this since I came here, and probably even before that. And to see it open up yesterday as a beautiful sunny day with a select group of members and staff that went out and played it was just absolutely breathtaking. I'm a little bit biased, but it really is transformed into the way it was 100 years ago.
Steve, being there for 24 years like you have, and you've seen, obviously there's so much great history at Oakland Hills with I think 17 major championships, a Ryder Cup, and Robert Trent Jones Sr. Did the first big renovation back in the 50s, and then Reese came in. You've seen all of that, and now we've got Gil Hance, who's come in and brought this new modern kind of going back to the old classic, these neoclassic designs, and he's brought that to Oakland Hills. So I'd love to hear your perspective on kind of what the difference is and the evolution of what you've seen.
Well, it's funny. The club hired Reese Jones back in 2006 to essentially tiger-proof the South Course for the 2008 Padraig Harrington PGA Championship. And Mr. Jones came in, and he did exactly what the club wanted him to do. He narrowed the fairways. He brought bunkers in close to the fairways and made the bunkers deeper and steeper. But he didn't touch the greens. Didn't rebuild the greens. Mm-hmm. Didn't make them any bigger, any smaller. So what he really did is he made the golf course extremely difficult for the membership. So over the last since 06, 15 years, the membership essentially had trouble playing the golf course. it was just too difficult. So Sean Smith came in and restored the North Course.
Yeah.
Just after that, and the members loved to go across the street and play the North Course. It was some trees were removed. It's a little more wide open, a little member friendly, and they love playing over there. So then about 6 years ago, the board decided to hire Gil Hance to come in and restore the South Course to the way it was, which was larger greens, wider fairways, fewer trees, fewer bunkers, but larger bunkers to match the scale of the scope of the land. And he's done just an absolutely wonderful job. And what he did is, not only restored the golf course, but restored the views and the vistas of the beautiful clubhouse. We have an absolutely gorgeous clubhouse that over time you couldn't see from the golf course. And now with certain trees removed, but keeping the specimen trees, huge American elms and oaks, the trees are now in the correct spot. The fairways are much wider off the tee to about 260, 280 yards so the members could play it. But then the bunkers were brought in at angles so that a major championship player, a professional player, or a top flight amateur player that hits it, you know, 300 plus or up to 340, they now have to think about what they're doing off the tee. They just can't blast away. And it was just a pleasure to play yesterday. I birdied my first hole today,
nice.
And then it got worse from there. But it was one of the best days on a golf course I think I've ever had, because it was so much fun just looking around. It was like a brand new golf course, and it was just a lot of fun to play, and it was in perfect condition.
Steve, I had the opportunity to walk the back nine on Sunday. You know, I know Oakland Hills pretty well. I was a caddy there for 4 years. I got married on the 18th fairway. I've been through, yeah. Well, you know, my dad had the house there on the 18th fairway. And so I've seen the evolution of the golf course since Gary Player won in 74. And the 16th doesn't look very much like the same hole when Player hit the so-called shot of his life. He's been part of so many tournaments there, the Ryder Cup. And you're right, it does look like a brand-new golf course. I was worried that they would take all the trees down, and I agree with your assessment. I think the trees that they've kept accentuate the course without, you know, flooding the fairways or the rough with so many trees that it turned it into a bowling alley. It seems like the greens weren't changed that much, at least from what I could tell on the back nine.
Well, no, the greens, the way Gil describes it, the way we've learned how to describe it is if you took a scan, you took your phone and you took an aerial view or a drone view of each green, and then you just stretched it out, that's what you have now. All the greens have exactly the same original contours. They're just wider.
Uh-huh.
They're larger. So,
right.
So all the greens were expanded at about 25%.
So a lot of those shelves.
Two of the greens, number 7 and number 3, are brand new greens. So the 7th green is now brought back to the left where it originally was, and when they were digging them out, they found the old green on number 7, and it's about 2.5 times larger than the existing green from, you know, 2 years ago from Trent Jones, from, you know, Reese Jones. And number 3 was moved back into the left about another 40 yards, and it's a totally different green than the former green.
I
and
saw.
They're just. They're large, they're big, they're impressive, and they're firm and fast and dry and tough to putt. They're just a pleasure to play. I don't know how to describe it. It was just fun.
Well, Oakland Hills greens are tough to putt, Steve. We know that. You've been there for long enough. Always been the biggest defense of the golf course anyways. Same thing with the North Course. You know, I think the North Course greens are even harder to read than the South Course greens. So, but I know that the membership is just itching to get back on both courses because I know how tough it's been. I get complaints from all the guys that I know there. Jerry, you can't come down and play. There's no guests allowed because the sheets are so full.
Yep, yesterday it was, you know, first day for the South Course was yesterday. And there was a shotgun start in the morning, 10 o'clock, with, you know, a lot of hoopla, a few speeches here and there. And everyone went out and played. And then after the shotgun start, number 1 tee was packed. And it's still packed. It was packed first thing this morning. And I can imagine, this is just with members.
Right.
And I can imagine it's going to be full through, I'd say, through the end of August. And then I think you'll start to see some guests starts to come in and enjoy the golf course. The North Course, we've allowed guests all year long, but we're trying to encourage walking only on the South, which is really the best way to play it. It's a fun walk. It's a difficult walk because you go down 90 feet to the 5th green and then you have to walk your way back up. But now from the 5th green, which is the farthest point on the golf course, you can still see the beautiful clubhouse, which you couldn't see before. You could really only see it from 1, 10, 11, and 18. So you can really only see it from 4 holes. Well, now you can see it from 18 holes, and it's like your northern star. You start, you know, 1 and 10, you tee off right at the clubhouse, and 9 and 18, you come back. And there aren't many other major championship golf courses that can truly say that you tee off right in front of the clubhouse on 1 and 10. Maybe on number 1, but usually the 10th hole is off to the side somewhere. But that's the design of Donald Ross. That's the restoration of Gil Hans, and that's the credit to the membership for supporting a restoration and shutting it down for 22 months. It turned out great, and it's just beautiful. And I'm not a big self promoter and say, hey, everything is great, but this is truly a great a great change. Sometimes change is good, sometimes it's bad. I think this change is fantastic.
Well,
how about that?
Gil Hance is the hottest architect, you know, in the world right now, and what he's been doing to what I would say U.S. Open venues is fantastic. And the early photos mm-hmm. that I've seen, including number 7, which you were just talking about, where you found the old creek that is now winding across the fairway, which looks mm-hmm. really cool. I'm a Golf Digest course panelist and rater, and I've played Beautiful. Oakland Hills a few times, and just seeing the photos, just looking forward to getting back out there probably next year, whatever, when the opportunity comes to see it and rate it now of what it is, because it looks fantastic, Steve.
I tell you what, number 7, the group I was playing with had former club champs, Scott Strickland, Jeff Champagne, and Phil Wood. We stood on number 6 green because we're all kind of 3-putting the hole, but that's beside the point. But just to look from number 6 green, which is probably the most exposed green out there,
right?
And looking down number 7 fairway with the creek that was put back in by Gil Hance, and Ty Golby was the main shaper. Ty Golby was Bob Golby's
son.
Yeah, Bob Golby won the Masters. He finished runner up to Gene Littler in the 61 U.S. Open here. This Ty Golby probably took him 2 weeks to get on his excavator and put that creek back in, and it looks like it was, you know, from Babylon. This thing looks it just looks like it's naturally there for, you know, a long, long time. It's just it's beautiful, and it tricks your eye. The fairway is relatively wide, to be honest, but you see the creek meander through there, and it makes you think twice. So halfway into your downswing, you have second thoughts about where you want to hit it. But it's just a beautiful hole. You know, it's just a nice walk to be. You can hear the babbling brook going by, and it's just a really cool hole.
Steve, nice. Did they keep the green in the same position? Because, you know, that green has been switched a couple of times. It used to be on that other stand of trees. And so did they move it back to its original position, or is it still where it was?
They put it back to the original position.
Wow.
Back to the original Donald Ross.
Cool.
So it's to the left, and it's about 15 yards shorter, the length of the hole. But it fits naturally. It hugs this creek that goes through number 8, number 12, and into the pond on number 16.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
So the 16 pond feeds that creek. So, and there's a little dam there that the superintendent, Phil Kapar,